Get your Christmas mittens out, bud. And 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, happy holidays, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more. Welcome to the show. I am Lord Saunders, and I'm joined by my regular triumphant co-host, Toph. How in the holly are you, sir?
Ho, 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 Adam.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas. Can I tell you how I am?
Yes.
I'm feeling, and again, I've attributed this to you in the past. I'm going to do it again. I'm feeling more Christmassy with every passing day. That's how I'm feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Mission accomplished, my friend. Mission accomplished.
Yes. As we established in the past, you're incredibly Christmassy, and I'm pretty well below average Christmassy, but between the two of us, we are an average Christmas person.
Yeah, we're like the perfect yin-yang of peppermint Christmas carols.
But I might suggest, as things are progressing, I'm becoming more Christmassy. I'm not sure if you can become more Christmassy, so we're quickly becoming an above-average Christmas person.
Well, Chris, I think is the more Christmassy you get, the more you'll realize that you can always be more Christmassy.
Oh, so even you could be more Christmassy.
We could all be more Christmassy. You know what I mean?
That makes me so happy.
That's not negating your current Christmas level. It just means if we keep Christmas in our heart every day of the year, there's always more to be garnered. There's always more to be garlanded.
Gosh, your love for Christmas, it still is one of my favorite things about you.
Well, thank you, my friend. And as with every Christmas episode, I would like to take 1 second and say, I know that Christmas isn't as joyful and triumphant for everyone as it is for me. So this year, for those of you who do not love when the holidays come around, for whatever reason, to you I say, I love you. I'm here for you. I hope you have a wonderful season anyway. And if you need anything over the holiday season, please reach out to me and my buddy Toph, because we are always here to help those in need of more holiday cheer.
Yeah, well said. I mean, as much as we like putting on this silly podcast and entertaining people and making people laugh, we know that people have real struggles and real lives. And I mean, that's not a shallow offer. I mean, if there's anything else we can do, reach out to us, conversation, phone call, whatever we can do. We're happy to do it.
We're happy to do it.
Consider us your friends.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you love Christmas, then you're going to love this episode. If you know someone who doesn't care for Christmas, play this episode for them. It'll make them love Christmas. And if you're listening and you don't love Christmas, you too, by the end of the time you get to this end of this episode, we promise you will love Christmas.
And listen, if you don't love Christmas, that's okay. This episode will love you anyway.
And as we've said many times on our show, money back guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you aren't deeply in love with Christmas by the time we get to the end of this episode, we'll refund your money that you paid for this episode.
Yeah, no obligation to buy. Just try it for the low cost of shipping only.
Mm-hmm.
We'll refund your money.
That's right.
Yeah. What other show is making that guarantee? No one.
None.
With that, I do want to say, like, I'm really excited about this episode. There's a lot of our familiar segments, as well as some glorious and triumphant Christmas segments.
Yes.
So, and I know what you're thinking, buddy. You're like, man, are they going to do the Christmas quiz? The third annual Christmas quiz? You'll have to wait and see.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
It's either that or another good segment.
God, what a cliffhanger. A holiday cliffhanger.
I mean, it's the best cliffhanger you could possibly hope for.
That's true. It's true.
Why don't we just jump right in, dude? Are you ready to kick this Christmas episode off?
Most definitely.
All right. Well, let's get started and look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week, if you didn't already know.
Would you mind if I got things started?
I was actually just hoping that you would.
All right. Because today, listeners, Today, you can celebrate National Pick Your Tree Day. Adam, do you go out and get a real Christmas tree?
You know what, buddy? Last year was the first year we got a pre-lit artificial tree.
Okay. All right.
And while that may like kill the purist in my heart, I will say that it has relieved a lot of the Christmas stress when all the hustle and bustle is going on. So that has enhanced our holiday spirit. So I'm doing it. What about you guys?
We've always had an artificial tree. Yeah. However, at my in-law's house a couple of years ago, we did go out to our Christmas tree lot and walk around until we found the perfect tree and we cut it down and took it home. I have to admit, as much as I appreciate the efficiency of an artificial tree, going and getting a real tree, like I just described, really added to my Christmas spirit.
There is no denying that fun part of
it. That's right.
Absolutely not. Okay, well, tomorrow is Roasted Chestnuts Day, and I, for one, will be participating in that.
Well, my chestnuts are roasting right now.
Oh, boy, don't threaten me with a good time.
All right, well, Tuesday is Cat Herders Day.
That's a weird day, man.
Sure is, unless you have children, and then you're like, huh, I metaphorically feel like I herd cats every day.
Yeah, that's actually how I feel at my job. I feel like I just kind of like... heard everyone all day. These are grown adults, not even children. But on a positive note, Wednesday is National Polar Bear Club Day, which if you're like me, I'll be drinking an ice-cold Coca-Cola to celebrate that.
I've done that. I've done a polar bear weekend, and I have, with just a bathing suit on, gone into basically freezing water.
I've done that more times than I probably should have.
And Thursday... and you can join me, because I'm definitely going to be celebrating this, National Maple Syrup Day.
Wonderful. I love maple syrup.
I do, too.
So, Friday is National Ugly Christmas Sweater Day, which is awesome. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
You know what? I've never gone out and gotten an ugly Christmas sweater. I love and appreciate that tradition. But what I have done, and I haven't told my family yet, because I'm going to surprise them, is I usually have some sort of onesie that I debut on Christmas.
And what's your favorite onesie?
It might be this one, and I think you can appreciate it because I have, Adam, a Santa Claus onesie.
Ooh, that sounds... Now, is it like Santa style, or does it have Santas on it?
No, it's Santa style. Like when you put it on, it doesn't have a beard to go with it, but when you put it on, you basically look like Santa.
That's okay. That's the best answer I could hope for.
And you can wrap up this week of jolly, joyous Christmassy celebrations on Saturday with National Eggnog Day.
I mean, you know as well as I do, that's the same thing as saying National Christmas Milk Day.
Well, and this is the day of all days that I regret most that I can't tolerate lactose because I do love the nog.
The nog is so good, dude. And I've actually just... we had a fresh batch last night, and I'll be making the Coquito version of that coming up this week.
Ugh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be great, buddy. Well, I tell you what, man, let's turn a quick look to this week in history. I'm going to knock through a couple of good ones, and then we can move on and kind of save some room for the extra goodies at the end of the show. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. So this week in 1808, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony was given its world premiere in Vienna. Which is dope.
Wow.
What's also dope is I will be there in June.
In Vienna?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That is dope.
Yeah. See when I get back.
Jeez, dude. I think you just flexed on me.
Sorry. It happens. Unbeknownst to me when it happens. Another Christmas one. In 1843, A Christmas Carol is published. Now, make sure you dog ear that, buddy. Okay. Not saying why. Just dog ear that.
Okay. All right.
So, moving right along, one of my famous painters in 1888 chops his ear off. Vincent van Gogh, the tortured soul he was, chopped his ear off in 1888. That sucks. Flash forwarding a long time. In 1997, the Titanic opens in theaters. I definitely saw it the year it came out. How about you?
I might have. 1997? That's very possible. I don't remember for sure, but I think so.
Everybody saw it that year, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Probably true.
Yeah. And on a much more downward trend, this week in 2012, Gangnam Style became the first YouTube video to reach 1 billion views. What a sad day in humanity that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, what a commentary on humanity that is.
Yeah.
The Gangnam Style was the first video to hit a billion.
Dang it, that's what we got. It was that one. All right, cool. Well, don't forget, 2012 was the same year that the Arctic Gun, more Arcticer, was released.
Good point.
Shout out to the 12 Days of Pop-Up. Okay, so in an effort to keep the time short and get to the good stuff, why don't we go ahead and move on over to news, and we'll kick it off with my favorite jingle.
All right, let's do it. Okay, Adam, so as we mentioned a short time ago, this Thursday is National Maple Syrup Day. And in the spirit of that, I wanted to share this story as an option of how you can celebrate.
All right.
I see a slight look of concern on your face.
There is a great look of concern on my face.
Well, it's justified. Because Robert Griffin, a 52-year-old landscape gardener in Monroe, Connecticut, was loading wood into a trailer with his female colleague when he informed her that he needed to take a break. So the two of them, you know, were landscapers, and they were over at someone's house doing landscape work, okay? Like a customer's house doing landscape work. And he's like, hey, I need to take a little break. And so he goes into their house, but he was gone for kind of a long time. The article says 20 minutes. So 20 minutes later, the woman went inside to look for him, and she found him naked inside the home where they were working, watching pornography on a laptop.
What?
She found him inside the home of the customer, naked, watching pornography on a laptop.
Was the customer there?
When asked what he was doing, Griffin replied that he needed to relieve himself before returning to work. Now, it doesn't elaborate on that because relieve himself usually means go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah. It's quick leak.
Well, that means going to the bathroom and then going back outside. Somehow, instead of doing that, he stripped down naked and sat down at presumably a customer's desk or table and started watching porn on their laptop.
Perfect.
The woman then decided to leave the 52-year-old to his business and continued to go back outside and load wood into the trailer by herself. So she's like, okay, like doesn't really react at all and just like, I'm going to go back out and finish working. That's what the article says next.
Yeah, I'd be pissed. You didn't mean to do all the work.
But I mean, that was her reaction, was to like shrug it off and go back outside. After a while, she decided that she also needed a break and went back inside the home.
Oh, no.
When she returned, she allegedly discovered Griffin pouring maple syrup on his naked body.
Oh, my God. At a customer's home.
Right. So just imagine this 52-year-old man sitting in a chair. Let's just say he's at a desk chair, sitting at a desk in front of the customer's laptop, stripped down totally nude in front of their laptop with porn on it, and now he's elevated to where he's pouring maple syrup. So at some point he got up, went into their kitchen, rummaged through their stuff, totally naked by the way, found some maple syrup, went back into where the computer was, sat down, and then poured it all over himself.
I mean I don't even like sit down unless I'm invited to.
Right. So his female coworker allegedly admitted to police she found the act to be a turn-on and asked to join in.
What?
The pair are also reported to have used blueberry jam as part of the foreplay. So now they're at some point one of them said, maple syrup's not enough. Let's go find something else.
Let's find another substance that's like super sticky and hard to clean up.
And then I don't know if she's either partially or totally nude also at this point. So one of them or both of them go back into the kitchen, I guess he's got to be at least partially or quite a bit covered in maple syrup. They find blueberry jam, and then that becomes part of what's going on. Police say Griffin secretly recorded the entire incident on his cell phone. This is where it takes a turn, because up to this point, they're kind of on the same page with all this ridiculousness. But when the woman found out that there was a video, she demanded that Griffin delete it, but he refused. Because one thing that I wanted to know was, is like, how did this whole story come out? The way it came out is that she got upset that he was videoing, wouldn't delete or turn over the video, and then she goes and reports the whole thing to the police.
Well, I mean, yeah. You want to protect those nudes.
What do you say to police when you go to report this?
I mean, you're telling on yourself, but at least your nudes won't get out there.
Right. You can't just say, hey, this guy's got videos of me on his phone and won't give them back. Ultimately, you're going to have to kind of tell them the whole story. Right?
Better than get your nudes out there, bro.
So it says the police got a warrant and seized Griffin's cell phone where they allegedly found the videos of the woman. And the biggest disappointment about the story is that there's no mention of the customers or their home or their reaction at all. It doesn't say anything because all it says is that, and this is a part of stories that we always focus on, Griffin was eventually arrested and charged with voyeurism. But that's it. Just voyeurism.
Not trespassing or anything like that?
Nope. He wasn't charged with anything related to going into someone's house and doing all the things that we just discussed. Not one charge.
I mean, not even like a bro code violation? Like, hey, don't go into my house and pour like shit all over yourself?
No. It just says he was eventually arrested and charged with voyeurism, and he was released after posting a $50,000 bond. And that's the end of the story.
He had 50 grand?
I don't know. I don't know.
Where did he get that money?
He loads a lot of wood, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, if he owns, yeah. Yeah, it's not a slacking job, that's for sure.
He does a lot of landscaping.
Yeah.
So there you go, Adam. If you and the listeners don't have any options for how you want to celebrate National Maple Syrup Day, perhaps this is an option you would want to consider.
Yeah. Yeah, a little B&E, a little breaking and entering, you know, and copious amounts of sticky condiments.
Right. Now, Adam, as you mentioned before we started news, we have a very busy show.
Yeah.
That means, unfortunately, we do not have time to get to our next story.
Nah, come on, man. Dang it.
I know. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
But I do have a headline.
Okay.
American Airlines flight attendant hospitalized after being face punched.
Oh, no. I wonder why. It's probably like, hey, would you mind putting on your mask? Punch.
that's a very sad thing to happen, but I do appreciate the fact that they worded it face punched.
That's true.
I do like the phrase face punched.
Flight attendant suffers blow to the face. It's face punched.
And an additional tease to the listener, Adam, I've come across several air travel related stories that we will get to in a future episode. We may package them all together and do air travel quick hits.
Oh, I love it. First of all, I love quick hits and I love air travel. So mm-hmm.
Sorry, Keith, but that's probably coming in a future episode.
It's going to be great. Well, that was an amazing thrill ride from start to finish. So thank you for that holiday segment.
You bet, pal.
Yeah. Let's move on to one of our new segments for this year's show. Now, you'll recall from past holiday parties, which we were not able to have this year due to the COVID outbreak, travel restrictions, those kinds of things. So I'm taking the opportunity to plan for next year. So we brainstormed and we decided that we would put the feelers out there for some raw talent for next year's karaoke auditions. So I thought we could start off with a couple of different things and just kind of listen to some audition tapes for next year's karaoke. So the first submission we have, Toph, is a trumpet player. He's more notably known for his weddings, but why don't we give him a shot and see what we think as a candidate for next year's karaoke.
Okay, so these are auditions for next year's karaoke segment.
Right, right. That's exactly right.
Great. Well, I love the trumpet, so let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
Never had one lesson. Wow. Strong first candidate.
Yeah, I like how it's, you know, it's like da 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 bam. I mean, if you ask me, he's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I don't see how he doesn't make the lineup.
Yeah. No. But okay, so that's a high bar to set. Now, I know that you've got a couple of submissions that... Why don't you go ahead and throw down what you received?
Oh, yeah. You're going to like these.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, that goes on for a little bit longer, and despite your desire for it, no chorus ever comes. You get several versions of a breakdown, but no chorus ever comes. So we'll call that one on the bench.
And if I could give him a little advice for future recordings, just pot that gain down just a tad. It might be just a little overdriven.
Yeah, just a touch.
Just a touch.
Just kiss it. You know, just kiss that meter.
Yeah. Can I offer up my next one?
Yeah, please do.
Now this is just in case we didn't like their first submission. This is actually by the same act.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they wanted to have a safety song.
That's right. If the first one didn't put them in, this right. one definitely will.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Robot Santa, bro.
Yeah. Again, I hate to be coaching our candidates. My tip on this one is commit to your vocals.
Yep.
Go ahead and commit.
Yep.
If you agreed to sing it, like really sing it, like belt it out. The other thing is,
yeah.
We've got these before, another submission in J flat.
That's another J flat. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Which is not easy.
No.
Well, despite the fact that we have like 12 more of these, why don't we do one more?
Okay.
Why don't we hear from Robin and Paul? I think they've got a pretty solid, I mean, they were on like public access So they went all out, totally pro, and this is their submission.
Totally pro. You've already got me a totally pro.
Yeah.
We give you Robin and Paul singing Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Nice.
Robin dropped her microphone. 1 second. Hit it. Yeah, no, he did it already.
Oh, all right.
Go
okay.
Ahead, please.
All right.
Be quiet. And
wait, just hold on. Let me find the spot where I start.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I was ready.
Okay.
Let.
Wait, hold on. I gotta go.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be with God as our Father. Brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony.
Wait a second.
A little faster. Harmony.
Come on, I'm
there
not
seems
there yet.
To
all right,
be
just
a
go
weak
to the
link.
Next part. Go to the next part. Ready?
Wow.
I mean, they are a well-oiled machine, Robin and Paul.
I like any entry that starts with a throat clear, followed by some passive aggressiveness.
Right. Straight up accusations of you know, your ill-preparedness and exasperation.
Followed by a really clunky music and even clunkier vocals.
Yep. It was a real disaster. I think they're going to be perfect for the show.
I do too.
The karaoke. Yeah.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Well, I think we've got a pretty good catalog now. Ready for next year. We have a lot more submissions to go through. We have a whole year to get through them, so I think it'll be fine. We can make this our Friday morning coffee segment. And when we have our, you know, morning staff meetings, and then I think we'll knock through it. So, but you know, it's a pretty good start if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, Adam, that was great. Why don't we move on to Christmas celebrity birthdays?
All right. Why don't we quick hit these, buddy? Let's quick hit these in honor of Keith. I'm going to start off with Jonah Hill, who turns 38. Jake Gyllenhaal, who turns 41. He's a monster. Ryan Seacrest turns 47. Alyssa Milano, 49, if you can believe that. Ricky Martin, 50. Kiefer Sutherland, 55. Eddie Ritter, 57. Jim Harbaugh, 58. The great Samuel L. Jackson turned 73, and you know him by two notes played in succession, Dick Wolf turned 75. Now, those are just the week of Christmas. So there are a couple of Christmas birthdays. Okay, I'll rapid fire these. You have Annie Lennox, who turned 67, Jimmy Buffett, who turned 75, and of course, Jesus Christ, who turned 2021 years old.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
All right, thank you, Clay Groves. We have two people that were born on this day but are now dead. First, Humphrey Bogart, who died in 1957 at the age of 58. Today he would have been 122. And the aforementioned Ludwig von Beethoven, who died in 1827 at the age of 56. Today he would have been 193.
Classic Beethoven, dude.
Classic.
Well, I think that's a good way to wrap up the show. You know, I think it was a good show. Oh, there's just one more thing, my friend.
Yes! Please say what I think you're going to say.
It's the third annual Christmas quiz.
Yes! Yes, God bless us, everyone.
Dude, you're going to do great. You're going to do great. It's going to be awesome.
Of course I am. I dominate this thing every year, indisputably.
Without question, unequivocally, yes. You take care of this. You take care of business.
Yes, the Christmas quiz sees me coming, and it cowers in fear.
Yeah, I think you're going to nail this one, bro.
There's no question. Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it.
We have a little bit of easy, a little bit of medium. We got a couple of hard ones in there, but mostly this is all for fun. So,
Adam, it's all easy to me. I got this.
You being the increasingly wonderful Christmas human being that you are, I'm sure you're going to nail this one, all right?
Fire when ready.
All right, let us freaking do this. First question. What Bing Crosby song is the best-selling single ever?
White Christmas.
Nailed it.
Yes!
Told you, bro. Starting off on the right foot.
In your face, Christmas quiz.
You should get this one. It's been a popular question on all of our quizzes. Which milk-based beverage is available around the Christmas holidays and comes in both alcoholic and non-alcoholic forms?
Christmas milk, Adam, or some people call it eggnog.
You freaking nailed it, all right? Some more easy ones. What name is given to small sausages wrapped in bacon, a staple at a British Christmas dinner?
Pigs in a blanket.
Bam, nailed it.
Three for three.
All right, you better be 4 for 4. The red and white costume of Father Christmas was allegedly first introduced by which drinks manufacturer?
What?
The red and white costume of Father Christmas was allegedly first introduced by which drinks manufacturer?
Guinness.
Incorrect.
Ah!
Moving along. Who was the author of A Christmas Carol?
Charles Dickens.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which Christmas food is it considered good luck to eat one on each of the 12 days of Christmas?
Calamari?
Wrong.
Ugh.
How many reindeer were in the story 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
Eight? Nine? Nine. It was nine. The answer is nine.
Incorrect.
What?
Why? What bad guy? Okay. Let me go. Like, I've got a couple of hard ones. Okay. Let me get some easy ones. Why couldn't
Ralphie
have
Hang a second. Was it not 8 plus Rudolph?
Rudolph wasn't in the story, my friend.
Son of a...
I get some every time. Classic. Classic Christmas misdirect. All right. What happens when you stick your wet tongue to a frozen pole, like in A Christmas Story?
It gets stuck.
Correct.
Bam.
Next question. Why couldn't Ralphie have a BB gun in A Christmas Story?
He put his eye out.
More specifically?
What? He'd shoot his eye out.
I'll accept that answer. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
That's totally the right answer.
That's why I gave it to you the second time around.
Okay, all right.
In a Christmas movie, generically speaking, there is a Christmas movie that has a real department store, right? What store was featured in what movie?
Macy's. In Miracle on 34th Street.
Nailed it.
Yes! I'm so Christmassy.
You got it, buddy.
I'm so Christmassy. Yes.
You're killing it, bro.
My own Christmas.
All right. That's doing good. Okay. Here we go. What bad guy did Rudolph have to avoid?
The Abominable Snowman?
Yes.
Yeah. Woo!
He's back, baby. Next question. Who helped Rudolph after he left the North Pole?
Santa Claus?
Incorrect. All right. What spirit is traditionally added to butter and served with Christmas pudding?
What spirit is added to butter and made into Christmas pudding?
Served with Christmas pudding.
Bourbon?
Incorrect. All right. And our last question of the Christmas quiz. Okay. What would you stick into an onion when following a traditional bread sauce recipe?
What? You completely made that up. That's not a thing.
Oh, but it is, my friend.
Are you kidding me? I've never heard of that ever. It's not that I don't know the answer to the question. Like, that's just not even a thing.
Kind of is, man. You're doing great.
What's the question again?
What would you stick into an onion when following a traditional bread sauce recipe?
My fist.
Incorrect.
No, I definitely would. Trust me.
Well, that could be said for many things that would come across your path, my friend. All right, well, here are the answers you got wrong. All right.
Zero. I got none wrong. You have nothing to tell me.
Well, okay, then I'll just review. Okay, what good Christmas food is it considered good luck to eat one of on each of the 12 days of Christmas? The correct answer is mince pies. Duh.
That's disgusting.
Who helped Rudolph after he left the North Pole? As you know, the correct answer is Hermie the Elf and Yukon Cornelius.
Darn right. Totally nailed that one.
Yeah, yeah. What spirit is traditionally added to butter and served with Christmas pudding? Brandy. Brandy was the answer we're looking for. B, brandy.
I said bourbon. That was kind of close.
It started with a B.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Partial credit.
All right. What would you stick into an onion when following the traditional bread sauce recipe? And the answer is, of course, cloves.
No, the answer is my fist.
That's just like the frosty line. It's not that.
Okay, and I've been proven correct about that, too, and I'll be proven correct about this.
Okay, so out of 13, you got 1, 2. You got 9 right, bro.
Yes.
No, you got 10 right.
Yes, that's so Christmassy.
Yeah, bro, you're killing it. Killing the game.
That's a 77. That's totally passing.
You barely passed.
No, that's totally passing. Passing is a 70. I got a 77 on the Christmas quiz.
It's barely passing.
No, I sailed through that thing. That was so easy. I nailed it.
I mean, yeah, you did really well.
Yeah. Say that again, please.
You did really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Take that, Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Christmas is your friend, man. You don't have to in-your-face Christmas.
No, I think after that quiz, Christmas is my bitch.
Dude, I gotta put my foot down. That's not how we treat Christmas.
Well, I did in this case.
According to the show notes, you have a surprise for me.
Oh, I do indeed, my friend.
And what shall we say is there?
And it comes in the form of audio, Adam.
Okay.
And it's a call from our hotline.
Yes, let's do this.
And this is somebody you're going to be very happy to hear from.
Okay.
It's been a point of contention. It's part of the lore of our show and our group. And okay, you're going to be very happy to hear from this person. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hello, Gravity Beard. This is Hans Gruber. And this is how I talk.
Yes.
I'm calling to clear up what seems to be a point of confusion within your organization. Die Hard is definitely not a Christmas movie.
You, Alan Rickman.
I understand Lord Saunders may be very confused about this and may offer resistance, to which I say, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Who would know better than me? I am an exceptional thief, and I am an exceptional thief the entire year through. Now give me back my detonators.
Merry Christmas, pal. That's a special surprise from me to you.
Well, first of all, to you, Hans Gruber, I say welcome to the party, pal. Everybody knows this is a Christmas movie, okay? Everyone knows it, right? Okay? So you can take that detonator. I won't say the line that happened, you know, after you got the building blown up on you. But first of all, I thank you for calling in. But secondly, the quarterback is toast. There's no way it's not a Christmas movie. It totally is. You're just trying to be a sourpuss, you know, just like you were to Ellis. So suck it. All right, pal.
Well, after much contention over many years over this issue, I will concede that it is a Christmas movie, and that's why I saved this message for you as my surprise Christmas gift on our Christmas episode.
It's not often that you get a call from long-deceased Hans Gruber for this, so I'm really glad he called in.
Well, I mean, it took a little time to get through the onboarding process in the afterlife. You know, we've been meaning to get to that and improve that, but we just haven't. And so he got around to calling finally.
Well, I appreciate it, Hans.
Yeah. So there you go, buddy.
Thank you, man. This was a great surprise. I can't believe Hans Gruber crawled in. I love it so much. That was a treasure of which I shall never forget. Well, in light of our call from Hans Gruber, and in light of the fact that I did homemade Christmas glass-blowing ornaments yesterday, I am out of wind. So, my friend, would you please close out our holiday party in the way that only you can and take us away with our wrap-up and credits?
Happy to do it, pal. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our dear friend Phil Rude for our custom logo. For my pal Lord Saunders, I'm your co-host Toph. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next year.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
That's how we do it, bud. 12 days of motherfucking Christmas.